Welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning at the services of the Central Church of Christ. We want to welcome everybody to come worship God with us. We're so glad you're here. I want to very quickly, before Gene comes up and opens our service, I want to extend a special welcome to our college students. ETSU and Milligan start back this week. So we have several students with us. Several of our returning students who we've gotten to know and love over the past couple of years are back with us. We also have several incoming students, some transfers and freshmen that are here with us. So real quickly, if you are a college student, whether you grew up here, whether you've been here before, or whether it's your first time, if you're a college student with us, please stand up real quick so we can all see you and welcome you, all our students. All right, so here's your job, especially people sitting on this side. Stay up for one second. So your job, especially over here on this side, because most of them are over here. There's a couple I saw over here too, so don't lose them. You're deputized right now. You cannot let them leave before they have gotten just the warmest hello and welcome to Central. Also, and so I hope you memorize their face because I'm going to let them sit down. You got them all? Okay, we're good. Okay, y'all can sit down. Today, we are going to take you out to lunch, and we're going to go to Knight's Pizza. It's right by ETSU. After we finish worship this morning, after everyone has just sufficiently welcomed you and loved on you, we're going to meet downstairs by the elevator. If you'd like to carpool or follow us over there, Knight's Pizza opens at 12, so we have plenty of time, and they're ready for us. They know we're coming. I told them that we're going to bring 100, so make sure you call all your friends. And it's free lunch. It's free pizza or salad and whatever you want. So come join us for lunch. On Tuesday nights, we have a Bible study here at Central. It's free food again. This week, Tim Hall is going to be speaking to us. So don't make your decision based on his lesson this morning. You know, give him another chance. We have a really good time. We have a really good group. We want to be your home away from home. And as the church here at Central, we want to do that. We have a legacy of probably 30 years or more of being that home away from home for college students while they're here in Johnson City. We know that you're going to be here for a short time, but we believe that we're planting seeds that other congregations across the country can see the fruit of when you get there, that your Christianity is a little bit stronger because of the time that you spent while you were here in college at ETSU or Milligan or Northeast, wherever you may be going. So we really, really want to encourage you to be part of that. Central family, in the next couple weeks, you'll have some opportunities to adopt these great young people. So help us out with that. There's a sign-up list in the back. Thank you so much. It's almost full. There's a few more dates left if you'd like to sign up to prepare a meal for the college program. And like we did last year, if you want to help out with the lunch today and on my way out, you want to give me a $10 or a $20 handshake to help cover the lunch today, that's fine too. We'll take that. College students, welcome. And we look forward to making you part of the family here. Gene.
Well, Tim did a good job welcoming the college students, so I'm going to try to do a good job and welcome the rest of you. We're glad you're here and glad for your presence. It's so valuable to the church. So we appreciate you so much being here. I'm going to read an excerpt from Psalms 105 to get us started. This is from, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember the marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in the earth. Now we'll begin with song.
I don't remember sending that one in, but we can sing it. I'm kind of wondering what other songs I picked out. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all. Go to our Father in prayer. We will sing number 83, God is so good.
God is so
Let us pray. Our most gracious Father, we come before you this morning in awe. We come before you just thanking you for being such a, as the song said, a good father to us. Lord, we come with hearts this morning just wanting to let you know that we're so thankful for the sacrifice of sending Jesus to die upon that cross of Calvary. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to carry that this with us as we go about our everyday walk. Help us to be a light to somebody who does not know you. Father, we just pray that you'll, you know, as we look across our world, our country at this time, and the trouble, the turmoil, help us just to realize, dear Lord, that you are in control, and we just need to continue to place our trust in you, and that all things are in your hands. Father, we pray that you'll be with, as we go through this time of worship this morning, help us to put all our thoughts out of mind, to just to dwell upon the words that Tim is about to bring to us of your word. And we pray that you'll continue to, as we leave this place today, that we'll continue to think of you throughout this day, your son, and how we can be better for you on this earth. In Christ's holy name, amen.
If you're using the hymnal, you may wish to mark number 902. This will be our hymn of invitation this morning. And then before the scripture reading and Tim brings us the lesson, we will sing Mansion Over the Hilltop, 881. If it's convenient for you, let's stand one more time as we sing.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, and in that city,
now's the time that we have our children's training class, and you can take your children to there. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 22, 34 through 40, and I'm reading from the New King James. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Karen Lipford was telling me earlier this morning she had just got back from LeConte Lodge. And I'm a little envious. I've never been there. I've heard it's a marvelous place to go. It's a hike to get up there, about 6,600 feet, she said, but the views are amazing. And it made me think, as we were singing that song just now, there's a better place than LeConte Lodge. And that's that mansion over the hilltop. And can you imagine the views that we're going to have when we get there? And we can get there. Now, LeConte Lodge, that may be beyond the ability of some of us to get there. But we can all make it to heaven one day. God has given us all the help that we need, all the help we want. And if we're determined, we will get there. And we will marvel throughout eternity at the marvelous love of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And what a gift it is to be able to come and worship God and praise him for making all of this possible. We're so glad that you've joined us today for our worship time, especially those of you that are back for college or new for college. And I'll echo what Tim said, that we want to be your family away from home. We know we can't be your family, but Tim does laundry for anybody that asks, so just call on him. Well, maybe not, but we are so glad that you're with us, and I'm anxious to get acquainted with you. I hope all of us will do that as well. And all of you, if you're visiting with us today, we're very glad that you've chosen to come out and join us. We hope that you will give us a moment to meet you before you get away, and if we can help in any way, while you're here, please let us know. And if you're in the area, come and join us often. We'd love to have you as a regular part of our family here, and just come and join us. All of you visiting with us online, glad to have you as well. And I know we have several that join us online, either while it's live or maybe later when it's recorded, and we're just thankful for the technology that allows that to happen. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. Let me get that right. I don't know where that 6:30 came from. Is that right, 6 o'clock? Okay. At 6 o'clock, we will meet. Now, we're going to meet inside. The weather report looks like it's pretty good chance of thunderstorms. We don't want to be in that situation. So we'll meet here in the auditorium again, and I hope you'll come out and join us for that, and just come, let's make this the Lord's Day. It is the Lord's Day, and let's use it to draw closer to him and to do all that we can to strengthen our relationship with him. Get your Bible out now. If you've got a printed one, if you've got an electronic one, whatever it is you've got, let's turn together to the Word of God. And I urge you to turn to the passages that you'll see listed on the screen. I'll try to give you a moment to get there before I begin reading it out loud, because I want you to be able to see this is God's word. It's not just Tim talking, it's the word of God. And so let's get into this and study together what God has given us. Now I know it's still a little ways off, but when Christmas time begins getting closer, I begin dreaming of my children's presence. I begin dreaming of my children's presence. And I guess I should spell the word presence there. I'm not talking about the gifts that they may give me. And even if they have nothing for me in the way of gifts, that doesn't bother me at all. What I really want is to be with them. Their presence is what I love. And that's because we have that strength of love between us. All three of our children, their spouses, the grandsons that we have a very close bond. And I love that presence that we have anytime we're able to get together. Now, it's not wrong to desire presence. And there's a lot of good things that we could desire. Maybe it's electronics. Maybe it's kitchenware. Maybe it's a new kitchen. Maybe it's a bass boat. I don't know. It's not necessarily wrong to desire those things. But here's the question. Do we desire the best things? Do we desire the best things? And that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He had been talking about their bickering over who has the best miraculous gift. And some said, well, I can speak in other languages. Another said, well, I can heal people. Another one said, I can prophesy. And they were saying, well, mine is better than yours. No, mine is better. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, earnestly desire the best gifts, the higher gifts. And then he goes on in chapter 13, at the end of the chapter, in verse 13, and says, these are the higher gifts, faith, hope, and love. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some of those gifts. We've looked at faith, we've looked at hope. And now as we bring this series to a conclusion, let's look at love. That is one of the higher gifts. And Paul says, earnestly desire it. Why? What will that benefit me if I do have that love? And what is that love? Well, you may have heard the scripture that was read for us earlier, and it breaks down into two different areas. There is the love that God has for us and the love that we have for each other. And we're going to look at both of those in this lesson. So let's begin by talking about the higher gift of God's love for us. The higher gift of God's love for us. I recently watched a program on television in which a grown man, was told by his mother, I never wanted you. She said, you were an intrusion in my life. I didn't want you. And that's why we sent you to boarding school. And when summer came around, that's why I sent you to live with your relatives. I never wanted you. And I've actually had two or three people say something just like that to me in person. They said I was not wanted. And they made that known on a regular basis. Can you imagine how crushing that must be? How disheartening that would be to be told by your parent, your biological parent, whether mother or father or both, I never wanted you. Well, does our Heavenly Father think the same about us? And the good news is, no, God loves us, and that is indeed a gift. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 to begin with on this point. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and here's how John states the idea. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. There's that gift. The Father has given love to us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And if you think about it, that really is pretty amazing. God is beyond us. God is so much greater than us. He is eternal. He is holy. He is pure. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. We could go on and on. But he said, I want you to be my children. I'm going to make it possible for you to be my children. Where does that come from? He loves us. He wants us to be his children. See the love that the Father has given to us. But at the same time, we can't take that for granted. We can't say, okay, God loves me, now I'll just get on about my life. Because James gives us this warning about how we can abuse that gift. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen to this warning that he gives there. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We make ourselves an enemy of God by choosing to be a friend of the world. Now, that doesn't mean God has stopped loving us. He still loves us, even when we are in sin, even when we are his enemies because of our sin, but we make ourselves his enemy by choosing the world instead of him. And so we shouldn't take that for granted that God, you know, is going to love us and okay, we'll just do whatever we want to do. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. And again, much the same idea. Yes, he loves us, but let's not overlook something else. Romans 11, verse 22. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severe. Note the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. So there again, Paul is making the point, yes, God loves us. And God wants to be kind to us. But we have to make a choice. Are we going to continue in his way? Are we going to continue living that way? Or will we put ourselves in enmity with him? Will we make him our enemy because of the way we live? But John, coming back to the wonderful idea of God's love, look again in 1 John, this time in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. In fact, you've heard John referred to as the apostle of love. And in this short letter of 5 chapters, 1 John is just filled with so many statements about the love of God. God is love, he says in chapter 4, verse 8. But here in chapter 4, verse 19, he says, we love because he first loved us. You know, we may feel proud. Oh, I love God. God must be very happy with me. Well, let's not forget, God loved us a long time before we ever thought about loving him. And so he says, we love because God first loved us. And it makes me think of an example that we find in 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 28. Here we find a man named Mephibosheth. Have any friends named Mephibosheth? Doubt it. But Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, a dear friend of King David, and the grandson of King Saul. And so when David came into power as the king of Israel, it was just understood by everybody. Well, everybody that's a member of Saul's family, they're dead. They're going to be killed because they pose a threat to the throne of David. And yet David didn't do that. David took Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, into his own home. And now listen later to what Mephibosheth says about that in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 28. For all my father's house were but men doomed to death. We were all doomed to death before my lord the king, but you set your servant among those who eat at your table. What further right have I then to cry to the king? In other words, what did I do to deserve that? And the answer is nothing. There was nothing that Mephibosheth did to deserve that. It was simply a gift of David's love. He said, I want to honor you. I want to show you favor because of the love I had for your father. And that's what God does to us. God shows us that kind of love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, one of the great statements about the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, do you really wonder if God does love us? This ought to settle any doubt. Romans 5 and verse 8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God showed his love for us in the most supreme way. While we were still sinners, he allowed his son to die a horrible death so that we might be saved. Now, you can doubt a lot of things. You can doubt whether the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning, or whether the oxygen supply is going to be shut off and we will no longer be able to breathe. You can wonder about those things, but you're not going to wonder about God's love, because God truly loves us, and he proved that again and again. Again, going back to 2 Samuel for a moment, chapter 7 this time. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18. Here is David, who has said, I want to build a temple for God. I mean, I've got a beautiful palace, God's tabernacle, it's a tent. I need to build a big house for God. And Nathan the prophet said, okay, go ahead. And then God said, no, go tell David, no. He's not going to be the one to build it. And then God went beyond and said, I'm going to build for you an eternal legacy. I'm going to build a house for you, David, and that meaning his descendants would be on the throne for eternity. And in Jesus Christ, we have that. But listen to how David reacts to that. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said,
Who am I? Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? David was stunned by the love of God. And if we think clearly, that's how we should react as well. We should be stunned that God would choose to love us. I mean, we know who we are. We know how easily we are to be led astray. And yet God continues to love us. It is a gift. It is one of the higher gifts. And it makes me think of the song lyrics by Kris Kristofferson in a song released in 1991. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? And that's right. Wow. It is a gift. It is one of the higher gifts. And if we properly, earnestly desire it, that means I want to continue living in a way that God's love will be showered upon me day by day. I don't ever want to be his enemy. I want to be somebody he loves and shows that love in the best possible way. So that's one way in which we're to earnestly desire the higher gift of love. Now, the second area that we want to look at is the higher gift of love for one another. You remember Jesus said in response to the question, what is the great command? He said, well, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so that, again, is a gift. Now, that one may be a little harder for us to grasp, but how? How is that a gift? Let's go to Titus chapter 3 to begin with. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through the first part of verse 5. And I think this will help us to understand, yeah, this is a gift. He says in Titus 3, beginning in verse 3, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Hated by others and hating one another, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. He saved us from our sins, but another way in which he saves us is from that hatred. Have you ever hated somebody? I mean, really hated somebody? And you're not going to be at peace as long as you hate somebody. You're always going to be thinking, what can I do to really bring them down, to get even with them, to try to show them I don't like them at all. But if you ever truly forgive that person, then you begin to understand peace. And so God, by his grace, has shown us there's a better way than being hated by others and hating one another. And that way is love, loving one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul there wrote this idea. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. You see that? God himself has taught us to love one another. Is that a gift? I say it absolutely is a gift. And how does he do that? I mean, is that just something that is sprinkled upon us at night while we're asleep? No, that's not how it happens. It happens especially by looking to Jesus. In fact, I would suggest you think about the parable of the prodigal son for a moment. We're not going to read that. But in Luke chapter 15, you've got the account of the young man that leaves home and wastes all of his father's inheritance and is in poverty, starving. And he says, I'm going to go home and beg for a job as a day laborer, a slave, you might say. But the father's not going to have that. The father welcomes him back with open arms and says, you're my son, welcome home. But there's another figure in this parable, the older brother. The older brother does not like one bit that the father has welcomed this reprobate of a son back home. And notice what he says about his brother. In verse 30, he refers to that prodigal as this son of yours. Notice what he does there. He has distanced himself. He doesn't say, this is my brother. This son of yours, you welcomed him back home and gave a banquet for him. What are you doing? But the father responds in verse 32 by saying, this your brother. He is your brother. You may not like what he has done in the past, but focus on where he is now. And that's our challenge today, isn't it? Is to not look on past failings of other people, things that we didn't like about them at one time, but instead, now let's think about where they are. They're in Christ. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're happy about that. And he has taught us to love one another. And think about the statements in John chapter 13. John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus had told his disciples, I'm about to leave you. We've been together for 3 years now, and I know you're sad about that, but here's what I want you to do. John 13, verses 34 and 35. He says in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And again, some may say, well, there's nothing new about that. You find that in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. But wait, he's not finished. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus said the new command is that all of us as his disciples are to love others the way Jesus loved others as well. So what is that? What do we have to do? We have to look at Jesus. We have to really study his life regularly. Go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to the epistles and see what the writers there say about Jesus. Look at the book of Acts and see the effect Jesus had on his disciples. And the idea is we learn to love one another because of Jesus. It is a gift. Had Jesus never come to this earth, we would have been hated by one another and hating one another. That's no way to live. That's no pleasure in that, no gift in that. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, we now learn, here's what this means. If I have that love for others, then so what? He says there in 1 John 3, 17, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And you may have experienced this. You may have had somebody come to you and say, can you help me with this or that? And we say, yeah, because God has been so good to me. But if you've ever been on the other side, where you're the one that has those needs, and I really need some help, where would we be without the example of the love of God and the love of Jesus? Who would help us? We'd be like that prodigal son where it says in Jesus' parable, no one gave him anything. He was starving and nobody gave him anything. And that would be our world were it not for the example and the teaching to love one another. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, another dimension of this loving one another. It's not just helping one another, but here it even expands further than that. Jesus in the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say go and help people that look like you, that grow up in the same environment you grew up in, that share the same interest you have. No, he said make disciples of all nations. And that means the doors are open. We are free now, we're commanded now to love everyone because we're all made in the image of God. And friend, again, that is a gift. That is a gift that we've been given by God, and we are to desire that higher gift. And here, I love the way Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, where Paul says to the Ephesians, primarily Gentiles, he says, so you're no longer strangers and aliens. They weren't Jewish. And so, talking about the Old Covenant, the law of Moses, they were strangers and aliens. But he says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, members of the family of God. You can love one another because we're all brothers, we're all sisters, we all have the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Tertullian is a man you may have heard of before. He lived in the years 155 to 220 AD. That's a long time ago. He was one of the earliest Christians. And he wrote an apology. An apology there simply means I'm trying to tell the Romans, you know, this is what we do. We're not a danger to the Roman Empire. Here's what we do. And listen to this excerpt from that apology, because he tells what Christians back then typically did. He said, they are not, the monies that we receive, that's what he's talking about here, they are not spent on banquets, drinking parties, or dining clubs, but for feeding and burying the poor. People that don't have enough money to buy food, we give them food. People that can't even afford to be buried, we bury them. That's what Tertullian said. For boys and girls destitute of property and parents, we help them, is what he is saying. We care for the orphans. And further, for old people confined to the house and victims of shipwreck and any who are in the mines, who are exiled to an island, or who are in prison merely on account of God's church, these become the wards of their confession. Now think about that. He's saying, we Christians love others. And how do we know that? Because look at what we do. We feed the hungry. We clothe those that don't have enough clothing. We bury those that don't have money to be buried. We help those that are shipwrecked, those who are in prison for their faith. And then notice what he says now. So great a work of love burns a brand upon us in regard to some. See, they say, how they love one another. Wouldn't that be a great thing for people to say about this church? And I suspect it is said by several. But see how they love one another. And it's not just those in the confines of this building, it's those in our community, and in our region, in our state, in our nation, in our world. See how they love one another. It's a gift. And Paul says, earnestly, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Let's imagine that we have injured ourselves somehow and we're bleeding pretty badly. We know we got to get to the hospital right away. So we jump in the car, we run over there, we walk into the emergency room, and we say, could you give me a Band-Aid, please? Maybe not good enough. I think you may need something more than a Band-Aid if you're bleeding profusely. You may need some stitches, may need some other things. And the idea is, are we looking for the best gifts? Are we settling for the lesser things in this life? Oh, now I've got money, I've got possessions, I've got this toy, I've got all of these things. Do you have the higher gifts? Do you have the higher gifts? And 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, one more time says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that Jesus gave his life for you? I'm not talking generally now. I'm talking individually, multiplied several times. But he loves you. And he gave his life for you. Regardless of what you've done in the past, regardless of who you are, he wants you to be saved. And if today you can say, I believe he is God's son, and today I want to turn away from anything he tells me is a sin, I'll repent. And today I'll confess him before others.
then you're ready today to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And everything is ready here. If you're ready to make that decision, we're ready to help you put on Christ in baptism. And if you're not yet to that point but would like to talk about it more, we're here to study with you if you'd like. We're not going to try to press you into anything. We just want to show you from the Word of God, here is the truth. Here is the good news. And we'd love to do that with you. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Have you been earnestly desiring the higher gifts of faith, hope, and love? And if you need to repent and pray for forgiveness, whatever it may be, we're not here to judge. We're here to help. And we'd love to help you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.
Would you be seated, please? Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 287, There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer. Jesus, Son of God. Precious Lamb of God, crucified above all the world. Thank you, O my Father, for me. starting in verse 23. I do this to kind of prepare myself to make sure that I'm taking it in the manner that God has intended it, and to ready my mind and to make sure that I understand how important this is. So it's not only a memorial, but it's also a covenant that we're doing. And so while I read this, think about that covenant and what that covenant means. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23, starting in verse 23, I'll be reading from the ESV. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us bow. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we come to you remembering the wonderful works that you've done. And we proclaim you and glorify you, and we thank you for thinking of us and counting us worthy to send your Son to be humiliated and to suffer and to die and to be resurrected on that cross. Lord, we can't put into words the thankfulness that we have, and we could never repay the gift that you have given us, but we do give ourselves, and that is what we can do. And help us to think properly, to apply your words into our hearts so that we can live our life in accordance to your will. Help us to take this bread in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In like manner, let's also take the pray for the blood. Wonderful, thank you, wonderful Father. We thank you for allowing us to have this memorial of your Son. We thank you for the blood, the precious blood, the innocent blood that was shed, where we deserved that. And it had to happen, Lord. There had to be consequences for the sin that we've committed. Lord, thank you for not putting that on us. Lord, help us to always see and appreciate who we are and have the right perspective for who we are and what you've done for us. And help us to take this cup of the vine in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. Let's transition to the giving, the offering. Let's think about some of the stuff that Tim was talking about with Mephibosheth, and how he was brought to the king, and he was asked to be part of that family. He was brought to have a relationship with David. And there was nothing that he did that he did not deserve it. And Tim's right, that's a great correlation to what has been done for us. God has offered to bring us into his family. We don't deserve it. And he has given us this opportunity. And the proper response for that, though, is gratefulness and thanksgiving. Let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us, so kind to us, and so wonderful. We can never grasp all that you've done for us physically, but also spiritually. The battles that you fight for us, I cannot wait to hear about. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And thank you for caring for us and doing what we could have never done and giving your son and fixing our mistakes, our problems, and our sin. Lord, help us to appreciate that and to show that appreciation by giving back to this church, giving back to others that have need, that the poor and the sick, the people that are like us, the people that aren't like us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that example, that perfect example of how to treat each other. Lord, help us to give in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful for the great opportunities that we've had today. We're thankful that we could come together and worship you and acknowledge you as our God. And Father, thank you for Tim's good lesson about love. Help us to love one another. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have several announcements. Please put your communion cups in the trash basket as you leave. There are brochures on the tables outside the auditorium for our September Wednesday night series. Please pick up one of these and invite others to come hear these wonderful speakers. The fall quarter for elementary classes begins next Sunday, September the 3rd, at the last reporting. Three teachers are still needed: Sunday morning toddlers, Sunday morning 5th to 6th grade, Wednesday evening cradle roll. Sign-ups are on the message board outside the auditorium. Please see Adam Maurer if you have any questions. On September 24th, we will offer our God, the amazing creator, oceans during the Sunday school hour for grades 1 through 6. Do you have any items for display or experiences that you share with us? Please see Catherine Albertson. Please sign up to prepare a meal for our college students on Tuesday nights this fall. Our college program starts back this Tuesday, August 29th. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board. See Tim Haywood for more information. We are in need of a nursery coordinator
If you're interested or to have any questions, contact Abby Letnicker or the church office. Remember these in prayer. Pam Cromie is scheduled to undergo a heart valve repair this Friday at Holston Valley's Medical Center. She will be in ICU for a couple of days and then in a step-down unit for a couple of days more. She asked for our prayers on medical staff that will be attending to her and for Tom, her husband, and for herself. Gracie Harville, daughter of Leighton Harville, came through her surgery on Friday with a ruptured urinary artery, and all went well. She has to have some. She has to have been kept overnight at John City Medical Center and discharged to go home this Saturday if all look good. Tom Ellis is scheduled to undergo a cardiac stress test and possibly a heart cath on August the 30th. Diane Vos, sister of Ava Rowe, will enter a hospice program in Huntsville. Al, on Monday, Ava was with her sister in Nashville and knows this will likely be the last time they can be together. Ava asked for our prayers for her sister and all of her family. The family and friends of Clyde Chisholm continue to mourn his recent passing. The family will receive friends tomorrow evening at August 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. with a memorial service to follow at the Cherokee Church of Christ. Please see the bulletin for daily focus and other information. One more thing that we have to need. Central has been blessed with a great number of children, and they really are a blessing to the church. And we need to continue to solicit teachers for these children. It's often said that children are the future of the church, and that's true, but what do these little children bring right now? They bring life. They bring excitement. They bring enthusiasm. They bring smiles. And they bring hope. And we're so glad that we have these children. And I'm going to emphasize the teaching jobs that we need. Sunday morning, we need a teacher for the toddlers and for the fifth and sixth grade. And on Wednesday night, we need a teacher or caretaker at the cradle role. So if you would, please consider filling one of these jobs. We need you. You can render a great service to the church. And now we are dismissed.